Here, the old gods are dead.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca with
Liam, a very gormless Liam today, but Liam and Les.
Yes, we're not sorry we're a day late, but I'm going to apologise for if you hear any noise. I'm recording in my room right now and there's like two kids that are at the front making TikToks on like hoverboards, and the hoverboards have speakers in them, so they're like blasting like Dua Lipa and stuff, and I kind of control that because I'm not going to go out and heckle them. So
I'm kind of jealous. I wish I was them right now.
They're influencing. In the street being influencers. But Liam, do you want to tell everybody why you were a day late?
Should I'm sorry we're a day late, but like landlords, enough said. So I got evicted yesterday. I've been given 2 months notice to vacate the premises because my flatmate's brothers couldn't get away from their mum's teat long enough to find a flat, and decided to search for flats a week before their course started, because that's a good idea in the middle of like a housing crisis, I guess. So they're evicting me from this flat. I have like a quarter of the way through my course. So I'd love that.
So if anybody in the Glasgow city area needs a flatmate.
Needs a flatmate, I'm like, I'm hygienic, I'm hot, and I'm wholesome. Oh, I'm a podcaster as well. I'll let you come on the pod and say hi. So, yeah.
Well, to be fair, when, like, my friend actually lives with Liam, and he like texts us in the morning and he was like, we've just been evicted, and I was like, what the fuck could you have done?
Genuinely, I was like, what did I do? I was like, I don't remember doing anything overtly offensive. I mean, I probably said
you've
like,
just got to suffer for your landlord's son.
Mercury's in retrograde, so I'm suffering. And also no, actually, I'm not using Mercury in retrograde. Landlords, that's it. Don't give them any excuses. It's their fault.
Okay, question for the culture to lighten the mood for you, Liam.
Okay. Babe.
Fuck, marry, kill. Your landlord. No, I'm joking. The Bivinci, the Bini, or Susan Boyle.
Okay.
I get what mine is.
Okay, so fuck the Bavinshia, because
yes,
I know she's a freak in the sheets. I feel like the Bania would be like kind of a downer, and I'm not really about that at the moment. As you can tell from the first like minute of this podcast, I'm just like a ray of sunshine at the moment. So probably kill her and marry Susan Boyle. Is that right?
I was
like, oh my god, it's like we share a brain.
Shared confidence, man. That's what I was trying to cheer you up, babe.
I enjoyed that. We should do that every episode. Oh no, I wish I had one for you.
You can do that next time we record. You okay. Hank a fuck Mariko for me. It doesn't have to obviously be, well, is Susan Boyle part of Scottish folklore? I'm going to say yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She has changed Scottish culture forever.
She also really has. One time me and my sister were drunk and we were like really, really pissed and we were on YouTube.
Why does every story you tell me start with me and Alicia were drunk? I would just like to address the alcoholism in the room. But anyway.
My period of sobriety begins now. But this was a couple of weeks ago, me and Alicia were drunk. And we were like just in my room and we were like pissed and we were like getting really emotional about Susan Boyle just talking about her. Then we watched her audition for Britain's Got Talent when she sings I Dreamed a Dream by Elaine Page and we both started green. Anyway,
I've been there, we've all been there. Oh, one of my friends actually has beef with Susan Boyle because
go on.
So she used to go into the shop that he worked in. Like, she apparently used to come in all the time and he was like, she's rude, and I was like,
she's like autistic, right?
Yeah. And I was like, maybe she just wasn't in the vibe. Maybe she just wasn't.
They think social cues are Susan Boyle's forte. But singing at Elaine Page is.
Anne Hathaway found dead. She could never sing that song with the same tenacity.
Literally, when I seen that version of Les Mis, I was like, honestly, Susan Boyle, maybe Susan should have just done her part. Anyway, now that we're talking about that piece of like staple Scottish culture, since this October, in our episodes are Ookie Spooky anyway, we were going to try and do like some extra Ookie Spooky series for October, but then realised that was kind of nullified because our whole podcast premise is that.
Yeah.
So we are actually just going to treat you to some witch trials. This episode's going to be about the Old Edinburgh Tollbooth and its famous occupants and prisoners, two of which were involved in the North Berwick witch trials, which is like one of the most famous witch trials in Scotland. It kind of is like the kickstarter to it.
She set the standard.
Yeah. I'll just start us off by introducing the tollbooth. A tollbooth is a Scottish word for a town hall or a jail or prison. The tollbooth in Edinburgh was the most municipal building in Scotland for about 400 years, and it sat on the Royal Mile next to St Giles Cathedral. St Giles Cathedral's still there. Like, kind of if you go up the mile and it's like all the like Scotland like tartan shops. It's like opposite that. You can see the like the place marker for where the door of the tollbooth used to be is where the Heart of Midlothian is. The new, if you don't know what the Heart of Midlothian is, Google it.
It's a shite football team.
But it's also this wee stone formation of a heart and a saltire on the Royal Mile.
Yeah, well, they're literally named after that because what was it? Is it like Sir Walter Scott or someone wrote a book about the tollbooth and called it the Heart of Midlothian or something? It was about one of the riots. Anyway, and then Hearts were like, you know what? We should name our football club after this prison for some reason. And I was like, well, I guess.
Set the tone.
If you ever watch them play it, is criminal. So
all the Jambi fans like, no.
Good.
There is a superstition though, right, with the Heart of Midlothian. You're meant to spit on it as you go past. Is that the
thing? Well, yeah. So like a lot of tourists will literally like, you can tell who's a tourist and who's someone that like actually knows about the superstition, because like if you watch people go down the Royal Mile, some people spit on the Heart of Midlothian, and then you see people just go. Because, like, you're literally, like, spitting outside a church. So then you see all these, like, Italians, like, oh, my God. but it's actually because... So there was a riot at the prison. I think it was called the Proteus Riot after the... Basically, one of the guards had, like, innocent people killed, and then the prisoners had an uprising against him. And then, basically, what people used to do when they were entering the prison after that is to show... Initially, to show disgust at it, they would spit at the entrance of the prison. But after that, it's just become like a good luck sort of superstition. So if you're ever in Edinburgh at the Royal Mile and you see the big mosaic of a heart, just spit on it for good luck.
Just torture some tourists on your way. Then you explain, just keep walking.
Well, if you ever walk down Princes Street, the tourists deserve it. They got their own first, like, so, like, they should be tortured back. We'll give them the boot. We'll get the thumb screws out.
Ooh, spoiler. Spoiler.
Ooh, spoiler.
All right. So it was the capital's main jail, as we've explained, as well as incarceration, physical punishment and torture were routine, which we have alluded to that we'll get into later.
Yeah.
18th century historian or Edinburgh historian Hugo Arnott wrote the following description that exposed the shocking conditions the prisoners were held in. The liberality and humanity of the English in erecting so magnificent a building for a jail as Newgate Prison deserve the highest applause. As an aside, I did Google Newgate Prison to check what the conditions were like, and it was also a shithole. So I'm not sure if Hugo Arnott has been impartial or when he visited Newgate Prison, they had maybe modernised it by that point. But
probably not. But
he continues, the state of Edinburgh Tollbooth is far otherwise. There, the austerity may be gratified in their utmost extent. In the heart of a great city, it is not accommodated with ventilators, with water pipe, with privy. The filth collected in the jail is thrown into a hole within the house at the foot of a stair, which, it is pretended, communicates with a drain. But if so, it is so completely choked as to serve no other purpose but with filling the jail with a disagreeable stench. All parts of the jail were kept in a slovenly condition, but the eastern quarter of it, although we had fortified ourselves against the stench, was intolerable. this is like so fucking dramatic. Like, it must have started.
Fortified ourselves against the stench.
Like, I can just imagine, like, him and the people who were, like, chaperoning him around the prison, like, slamming a door. Like, leaning against it, like. This consisted of three apartments, each above the other. The undermost of these apartments was empty. In the second, which was called the Iron Room, is destined for those who have received the sentence of death. There were three boys. One of them might have been about 14, the others about 12.
Inside you, there are two wolves.
One's 14, one's 12. But that Hugo Arnott was like really big for like prison reform, so like I will take his word for it. And also I'm going to take his word for it because if you go on any tour of Edinburgh, or you go to the Edinburgh Dungeons or Mary King's Close or anything like that, or read any history about Edinburgh, they preface it
like shit.
Like, it fucking stank. Like, it still kind of stinks, like, near Haymarket, but that's probably because of whiskey distilleries. But, like, Edinburgh fucking stinks. That's your hot take.
Yeah, it does. It still stinks a little bit sometimes. But,
I mean, they used to call it, like, Old Reeky or something like that.
Big, the big stink.
The big stink. So now that I've set up the scene for this absolute shithole of jail, well, let's talk about some of its most famous occupants. And because it's Edinburgh, you can obviously bet that these people are, like, hammed up, camp, fucked up, creepy people. So, Liam, yeah. Why do you not tell me about Agnes Sampson?
So, Agnes Sampson was one of the inmates at the toll booth. She was one of the dolls. Basically, I'm actually just going to segue out of the toll booth and skim over this. So she was tortured there. Let's get into that. She was tortured there, but she's most famous for being, I believe, the first woman killed at the North Berwick witch trials. So mm-hmm. Basically, in Europe, we've spoken about this in the podcast before. We've talked about how Scotland was famous for its witch trials. They didn't do it half-assed, that's for sure. Anyway, like, between the 16th and 18th century in Europe, there was this mass hysteria around, like, witches and them, like, corrupting the church and, like, making holy ground unholy with their acts and stuff. And basically, very woman-hating stuff. One of the inmates, Agnes Sampson, at the toll booth was a witch. So this is the thing. So she's actually stated in multiple sources as a self-proclaimed healer and witch. However, the measures by which...
So she's innocent then.
Yeah. That's it. Like, the next time my prescription's late, I'm accusing my doctor of being a witch and have them, like, hanged and burned. Self-proclaimed is... that's a bit of a stretch, because she was tortured, and the torture measures for witches were a bit different to everyone else. Like, we've talked about the boot and the thumb screws, we'll talk about how those work later on. But for witches, it was a bit more, like, imagine that scene in Game of Thrones where Cersei is, like, stripped naked, shaved bald. Like, they actually did that to witches to find like devil's marks, which are basically moles. Like
They did that in Edinburgh. Like they used to like walk them up the mile and do that.
Yeah, like shame. but basically they would look at their like hidden areas to see if there were any like moles or that where the devil had touched them. So this happened to Agnes Sampson, and basically Agnes was implicated because another witch called Gillis Duncan had admitted to witchcraft and narked on multiple other witches. Around 70 witches were killed in this trial, so I don't know how many she named, but snitches get stitches. I mean, she was probably hanged and burned too, so like... basically... James the Sixth had this like weird incel boy like paranoia about like everyone trying to get his ass. So like he basically went to Copenhagen and he married Anne of Denmark. And then they came back on their ships and a storm hit. And then while the storm was hitting, like they thought they were going to die. They were turned upside down, inside out, all around. and like, so the Danish court in those times was obsessed with witchcraft. And then James the Sixth was like, I like the sound of blaming women.
How can I make that about me?
How can I make this my personal Afghanistan? So this influenced him and he started his own trials. So then he got this doll, Gillis Duncan, and like tortured her until she was like, yeah, I'm a witch. Everyone else is a witch too. She's a witch. Your mom's a hoe. She's a witch. Yeah, so then basically that's when Agnes was caught. And then while she was being tortured, she then went on to admit to the fact that they would go to like the St. Andrew's Kirk in North Berwick and they would corrupt the church by like doing devil worship there. So they'd like pervert the holy grounds. They would desecrate graves, dig up corpses, dismember the corpses. And then there was actually, they said that she... and her accomplices took pieces of dying corpse, sold it to a cat, and then threw the cat in the ocean, which caused a contrary wind or whatever it was.
So that's what started the pet cemetery cat started the storm.
Yeah, the pet cemetery cat jiggles and rattles James. Somehow he doesn't die. And then everyone implicated in these trials was hanged and then burned for being a witch. Isn't that crazy? Like, imagine. What would you do if you got hanged and burned?
Probably come back to life because I'm a witch.
This is the thing. Maybe you wouldn't come back to life, but you might become a ghost. Because
if you die, you're innocent.
Yeah, that's true. So they were all innocent, I guess. Even though they had like admitted to it after torture.
Is Agnes Sampson a ghost?
Yes, Agnes Sampson's the ghost. And you're said to see her little baldy head bobbing around Holyrood House Palace. So if you want to go there, some people have said they saw like a bald woman like wailing. And I was like, Tilda Swinton? Anyway, so now that we've got the witch trials discussed, I guess it's time to talk about some more witchy toll booth inmates. Isn't that right,
yes,
Rebecca?
So John Fian was part of the group that was arrested with Agnes Sampson. His arrest came when Gillis implicated him in the raising of the storms as well. I think, so 70 people did end up becoming implicated in this, but I think Gillis maybe only like went for like 7 or 10 or something, and then the hysteria kicks in, which is what always happens, and then more people accuse other people.
Sorry to interrupt, but my light is flickering as you're talking about witches.
No more bad luck.
I can't take this anymore. No, the killer's escaping. He's escaping.
So, like, if your power cuts out, I swear to God. John Fian was arrested at the same time as Agnes Sampson. He underwent examinations as a sorcerer, At first, he openly confessed that he bewitched a man to fall into fits of lunacy once every 24 hours. And then to confirm this, Fionn, like, called upon the same gentleman and brought him into the king's chamber. So in front of the king, this man appears that apparently that Fionn claims to, like, pay under his, like, control. It's, like, his, like, ward or whatever, I don't know. Yeah. And then the guy, like, falls to the floor, starts screaming, starts having fits, and then he, like, gets up and he starts jumping so high and screaming and, like, touching the roof and, like, banging the roof and stuff. And this goes on for, like, an hour.
Okay,
and then as soon as the hour passes, like, this is exorcism stuff. Like, yeah. And then he, like, the man, like, snaps out of it, and then he has no recollection of what just happened. And, like, King James is, like, by the way, all this information comes from King James's, like, dossier that he made called, like, Demonology.
Yeah.
This is what actually started, like, British and the witch trials in the British Isles becoming a thing. What are you saying?
I actually did read about that book, and I was like, that kind of sounds like a fun read. A study of necromancy, sorcery, and the occult, the supernatural.
Let's make that the tagline here. This guy has no memory of this fit. It's like as if he had been asleep and it was all a dream.
So epilepsy.
Literally, I think he is just epileptic.
Yeah, literally. Oh, well, they could get a bone. They could get a little skull bone and cure
and drink
epilepsy.
It and yeah. Cure him. We love a callback. but then Fionn confessed in another interrogation that he had made a pact with Satan. But bear in mind that he's been tortured this entire time, so he's just saying whatever they want. So in this interrogation, he says that he had made a pact with Satan and that he would renounce the devil and vow to lead a Christian life if he was set free. The next morning, he had said that the previous night the devil had came to him once that interrogation was over. So he comes into his cell dressed in all black with a white wand, demanding that Fionn continue his faithful service in the pact that he made. I tried looking up the significance of white wands and, like, like witch culture.
And it just came up with Pornhub?
No, it actually came up with, like, kind of like when you Google, like, an item for a game. So it was just, like, Diablo 3 white wand weapon. And I was like, oh, what's the properties of this? So that's the thing that I could find on it. But if anybody's got any guesses what the significance of white wands are, I would love to hear it. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing here, but Fionn says that he renounced Satan by getting up in his face and being like, I'm going to hate to, like, get the these and thous out for this, so get away from me, devil, for I have listened too much to thee, and by the same thou has undone me, I utterly forsake you. And then the devil answers him and goes, before you die, you shall be mine. And then he kisses him. I'm joking. The devil broke the wand and then immediately vanished in, like, a wee poofy smoke.
Sorry.
After that confession, Fionn was actually given the chance to lead a normal life. I find that hard to believe, but either way, Fionn must not have believed it either. So he, like, managed to steal a key to his cell and, like, legged it.
Okay.
I don't know what age this guy is, but he eventually was captured and tortured until his execution, and it is documented that he endured the torture without expressing pain. And then he was taken to the Castle Hill in Edinburgh, so, like, top of the Royal Mile, placed in a cart, strangled, and then burned alive. An English ambassador who was in Edinburgh at the time, called Robert Bowes, said that during his execution, Fionn denied his confession and said that he had told the tales that he feared of being executed. No way were they using, like, bad interrogation techniques and torture to get, like, false statements. That sounds so medieval. Anyway.
Yeah, that's it sounds like that just shouldn't happen ever. In current times, definitely not now.
So another famous prisoner at the Tolbooth was Major Thomas Weir. This guy's, like, have you ever heard of him, like, at all?
No, but it sounds like a name of someone you'd want to bully. Like, just imagine he got bullied in school, but
I think he might have.
Oh, did he like skin cats or something?
Yeah, he probably did. He's like a character for Game of Thrones or something. He gives me the fucking creeps.
Yeah.
But he was a covenanter. The covenanters were part of a political movement that followed a particular strict form of Presbyterianism. So they opposed.
Oh.
They opposed the king and his son Charles over church doctrine and structure. Basically, they were kind of like anti-Jacobites before Jacobites were a thing. They were really like Lutheran, and they didn't want like Catholics on the throne and stuff.
The more I learn about this, the more I'm like, well, the more we talk on this specific episode, I'm like, George R.R. Martin maybe isn't the greatest writer of all time that people try and make him out to be, and he is literally just lifting things that happened in Scottish prison culture.
Well, this gets really Game of Thronesy. You'll understand when I say where it gets Game of Thronesy. But even George R.R. Martin like has said that the Red Wedding scene in Game of Thrones, it's based on the Glencoe massacre.
I feel like a nerd for referencing Game of Thrones multiple times. Like, I want to bully myself. Like, I feel bad. I feel guilty.
I thought about rewatching it and then was like, actually, I'm not going to do that to myself. Anyway. Weir was part of an affluent family for Carluke, and he was known as the Bowhead Saint because he had a huge property on the West Bow.
I thought you were going to say because he had a huge cock.
No, he had like a huge, huge, huge house on the West Bow, which I think is like, it's just off the Royal Mile on Victoria Street. So like, I think where his house used to be, there is a Harry Potter shop. So it's very, very Edinburgh.
That's godless.
Well, it's a godless place, I'll tell you. And he was called a saint because of his pious lifestyle. Like, he would like preach. He's like Presbyterianism all the time. He was really famous in Edinburgh for preaching all the time. Fully in his retirement for the army, Weir fell ill in 1670, and for his sick bed began to confess a secret life of crime and vice. the Lord Provost at the time didn't actually believe Weir's confession because of Weir's heritage and his position in society, and eventually. Yeah. Weir's confession, along with that, is Spencer's sister, who is called Jean Weir, known to her friends as Grizel.
Love, that's fucking camp. My name is Jean Weir, but you can call me Grizel. Like, that's a drag name. That's a drag name.
You can call me Grizel. but they were then taken to the toll booth to be interrogated. So Weir, who was in his 70s, continued his confession, and Grizel, who by this point in her life was totally mental, gave an exaggerated history of witchcraft, sorcery, and, like, depravity.
I want to smoke with her. I really do.
She related how many years before a stranger had called upon her brother in a fiery coach, so, like, a coach that, like, ran. Like, flames were coming off the back of it, flames were coming off the wheels, the horses were covered in flames, had taken her brother to Dalkeith, and how during the short trip, the man in the cart, who I assume is meant to be the devil, had given him supernatural intelligence of how the Scottish armies were defeated in Worcester the same day. And then Grizel maintained that Weir derived his power from a walking stick that was topped with by a carved human head. So, like,
he was curing his epilepsy. Let him live.
so maybe I think the wee, she's like alluding to the fact that the wee face on top of the cane had like spoke to him, like there was a spirit in the cane that could, like, gave him power.
I'll show you the spirit in my cane. No, actually,
this rumor, this confession from Weir's sister actually gave rise to later rumors that people had seen him parading in Victoria Street with a cane hopping along in front of him. So it was, like, leading the way.
Like Looney Tunes or something. I love this.
Well, I pictured that, like, wee worm woman off of SpongeBob.
Chocolate!
So Weir's confession, along with his sister, sealed both their fates, and they were both quickly found guilty at their trial, and then they were sentenced to death. Whilst awaiting execution, they were both confined in a leper colony that was at the Greenside below King Carlton Hill in Edinburgh, like the really the really nice bit where you can, like, it's like kind of like based on like Greek architecture. So like at the bottom of that nice hill, there used to be a leper colony, and that's where they were both confined. At their execution, Weir was garrotted and then burned at the Galilee. Galilee means like gallows field. So it sat between Edinburgh and Leith, kind of where, okay. Run a bit where the Nando's is and the Slug and Leather. That's probably where that is.
The okay. I know exactly where it is now.
I think that is where it used to be.
So kind of like where the like the theatre is, like that.
Yeah, aye, there. Okay. Aye, so Weir's last, in his last words, he was urged to pray for forgiveness, and he was reported to have said, "Let me alone. I will not beg for forgiveness. I have lived as a beast, and I must die as a beast." Weir's walking stick was then thrown into the flames after him, and it was reported to have made rare turnings in the fire. And then shortly before his sister and him were executed, Weir had made a further public confession in front of everybody that him and his sister actually had an incestuous relationship.
Of course. That's where I'm getting
Game of Thrones vibe.
As soon as you were talking about him having a sister and her name was Grizel, I was like, they're fucking.
he was executed at the Galilee, but I think his sister was actually executed in the Grass Market, and it might have been quite a public event. He seemed to have got like the better end of the stick, because he was like this affluent man, and his sister was kind of like, she was clearly like mentally unwell. She seemed, if it was in the Grass Market, I'm assuming that it was like maybe a public event, so God knows what happened to her. She probably got like tarred, stoned, or tarred and feathered or something. But the remains, they were buried together. And they were buried at the base of the gallows in the Galilee. Weir's house in the West Bow stood empty for a century because of its reputation for being haunted. It was said that one of Weir's enchantments made people ascending the stairs thinking that they were actually descending in the opposite direction. Kind of like Winchester Mystery House vibes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got for that. So the house was eventually bought like really cheaply in 1780 by an ex-soldier who moved in with his wife. And they were said to have bolted for the house on their first night after experiencing a strange apparition of a white calf approaching them in the night that flipped its like front legs up on the end of the bed and then just like tipped its head forward and like stared at them.
Oh, I would have petted it.
Kind of gives me like David Lynch vibes though.
Okay, that's less
like
cute.
When Pete's scary music plays in the and a calf just appears in like a ray light. That is David Lynch.
Yeah.
According to Walter Scott, the house had remained unoccupied after that incident, but it was eventually demolished 50 years later in 1830. And I'm pretty sure it is like across the road for like Pie in the Sky and stuff in Edinburgh. So it's like it's either at the back of a Starbucks. it's a Harry Potter shop, which is like one of the two things that your property can be.
Yes. The pinnacle of culture. I hate it here. Why could they just left it's a spooky house?
I know. You can see images of it. I'm actually putting up one on Instagram, and it does look like quite a cool old house.
And it's a Starbucks.
One of the things that is attributed to Major Weir is that, like, criminal and future episode topic Deacon Brodie, Weir's double life is said to be the inspiration for Robert Louis Stevenson's novella Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But I feel
is it?
Yeah, because obviously he was like this total pious, nice guy who like preached all the time, and then like secretly he was a warlock who like shagged his sister. I didn't think Dr. Jekyll was... No, Mr. Hyde just murdered people. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, he wasn't... Yeah, I think we should all say sorry to Mr. Hyde.
Deacon Brodie seems like a better attribution.
Yeah, that sounds more accurate, if you have.
I think folk just seen the double life thing and were like, it must be based on that, but... doesn't it look like Weir got tortured though? He just kind of got like garrotted.
Do you know what else? I actually, Hannah Montana is based on. You get the best of both worlds.
So chill if you're rich, you can flow,
then you fuck your sister.
This episode's like really points where we could definitely be cancelled.
This is R-rated.
Aye, they always are, but
are they?
I have to make them explicit. I didn't want kids to come upon this.
Yeah, actually,
I can there is like younger people who listen to this, because I've actively sought out like young queer kids to listen to this. You want to hear, but shut your ears for the parts that we were just talking about. But I will. We'll tell you about some popular torture methods that they would have used in the Tollbooth dungeons that obviously weren't used on Weir because he was like too rich and famous to undergo torture. And of he course. Was openly confessing anyway. They didn't ask. They were like, we literally didn't ask. You could have just died. But there was only like two like popular torture methods. If you go to the Edinburgh dungeons, they like you could get out all these torture devices and stuff, and they do get out the ones that we're going to speak about, but they have mare, which is actually inaccurate because there was only two really used in Scottish judicial process.
I've never actually been to the Edinburgh dungeons, like to that.
It's really fun. It's camp as fuck. It's so camp.
The one time I did nearly go, I was like eight and I was like the faggiest little.
Oh my god, me and Alicia went when we were like eight, and kind of how like the bit where you're going to get the tickets and go to the toilet and stuff, it's all like covered in blood and there's like scary music playing. We just started greeting and we didn't go in.
Well, that's the thing. I went and then one of the like actors from there was literally like walking out to go on their cigarette break and just literally just walked past me, the most normal like... what's the guy from the Addams Family called? Lurch. It literally just looked like Lurch, like walking past, minding his business. And I was like, oh! And then we didn't go in. And my dad was so angry.
Good to kind of that wasn't just like an experience that me and Alicia had. That
I know, I feel like we're closer now.
That makes me feel better. We had like proper breakdowns. Like, we were like, we're not going in here, it's too scary. But yeah. I have been in twice since then.
Well, every time I've wanted really to go with all of my friends, because they like, all the people that I wanted to go with live in Edinburgh, were like, I don't want to go, that's such a tourist thing, and I was like, I am a tourist.
I'll go with you.
Creepy Wee podcast meetup for everyone. We're inviting you all. This is an open invitation, unless you're a landlord, to the Edinburgh Dungeons.
They'll tell you about the torture methods that were used in Edinburgh, and I think when we think about torture devices, we think of these being like a medieval concept, but in Edinburgh, they were using these well into the Enlightenment period. So, like, we were still doing these in, like, well into, like, the late 1700s, early 1800s. Like, we were still using these. One of the most popular torture instruments, as we've said, is called the thumb screws. These were actually known as the pillywinks.
That's so cute, little. Aww.
Or the pillywinkies.
Get the pillywinks out, girlies.
So it's a simple vice. It's a vice. So the crushing bars.
Oh.
So they'll screw them down onto your thumbs. The crushing bars were sometimes lined with sharp metal points that would puncture the nails and destroy the sensitive flesh of the nail beds, which I hate because I bite my nails, and whenever I get to the quick, like, it really fucking hurts. So I can't imagine anything getting rammed.
I have
that.
A thing about nails and teeth. Like, I can see any other kind of gore in a horror movie, but nails and teeth, that's too much.
Yeah.
This sounds like my worst nightmare. Just after my manicure? Absolutely not. Anyway, continue.
whilst the most common design operated upon a single thumb or the big toe, cleverly designed variants of this device could accommodate, for example, both big toes, all five fingers, or all 10 toes. And then, obviously, so like they were like, oh, one thumb isn't working, like let's up the stakes. And then they made bigger and bigger vices that had like grooves and stuff in them that could accommodate like different digits.
That's
obviously
kinda,
based.
I love the innovation. When did Scotland stop being innovative? Again, I ask this question.
Here, earlier on, I was listening to another podcast, and it was American people who were talking about Alexander Graham Bell, and In America, he was a he was like big into eugenics and really wanted to like erase deaf people for the population. But in Scotland, you never hear that. Like, we never talk about that. We're like, oh my God, we invented the phone, Alexander Graham Bell. He's so brilliant. But then he moved to America and did that. Just thought that was like interesting because, like, obviously we're really like, that's great that we invented the phone and stuff. But like,
this maybe podcast, didn't say his name. This podcast is not about the creepy stories we tell, but it's about the old white men we out for their horrible practices along the way.
Thanks, Liam. Like, glad you managed to get that in there.
I've been sitting all episodes like, I need to say it. I need to say it. I need to say something of this caliber. I need to have a hot take.
Obviously, based upon the thumbscrew, albeit heavier and stronger, the foot-crushing boot enjoyed the same popularity in the torture chambers of Scotland and in the Edinburgh toll booth. Both were used on John Fian and Agnes Sampson of the North Berwick witch trial. So, Liam, why do you not tell me what the boot is?
Oh, the boot. So it was actually famous throughout Europe, was favoured in Scotland, and it's sometimes called the Spanish boot. It involved two phases. So basically there was like this sort of like vice sort of sleeve that you put over the leg, or you could do it to the arm. They sometimes got like, we're creative like that. We tortured people many different ways. You'd wrap it around like the leg, and then you'd get like a piece of like wood, like a doorstop sort of thing. And then you'd shove it down the front of the sleeve that was fastened around the leg, and then you just like hit it down. And like how I like to imagine, well, I don't like to imagine it, but how I tend to imagine it is like, you know, when you have a carrot and you like roll your teeth along the front of the carrot to make like a little
shred.
Yeah, like it does that to you, the flesh and the bones in your leg. So
nice.
Many people who weren't confessing before, surprisingly, started confessing after this to whatever the police wanted them to confess to. It's amazing, actually. It's as if they just wanted to stop being tortured.
Is there like a variation where it's like they like tighten of the, it's like two pieces of metal and then they tighten it so it like actually just like completely crushes the
bone. It's like a juicing machine. That's the other way. It's like a nice smoothie they make, and they just like tighten. It's like a corset but made of metal and for your leg, and it doesn't make you skinny, it makes you legless.
They used that on John Fian, and they used it on both his feet and shins to the point where there was like nothing left, like you couldn't even tell that he had feet, and apparently he didn't express pain, which made them think like obviously like he's got like some supernatural like hang about him where he's not like expressing pain, where actually he was probably just like so in shock and nearly dying that he just wasn't saying anything. But that's the most popular torture methods that we use.
Yeah, I feel sick.
Obviously, like different stuff that they used to do, which is we're probably going to cover more witch trials. I can remember I went to a witch kind of tour in Edinburgh when I was younger, and they said that at the top of the Castle Hill, like at the door of Edinburgh Castle, they'd put witches in barrels that were full of nails. They had nails like hammered in. They put a witch in that, and the Royal Mile was quite steep and long. At the top of the Castle Hill, they'd just boot this barrel. And I literally, like, hands up in the air, like,
scream if you want to go faster.
And that's how they would, like, basically, if you lived, you were a witch, but if you died, you were innocent. That old chestnut. And then they used to drown witches in the Norlock too. We'll probably do an episode on the Norlock because it's got a lot to do with like Edinburgh Witch Trials and the plague and suicides, murders, everything else used to go on at the Norlock. But that's where the Princes Street Gardens are now. Edinburgh's such a dump. Like, everywhere you go, like, something like really horrible has happened.
Here, this place smelled like shit. There were active treason here. They tried to blow up Parliament here. They had a lot going on. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of the most haunted. I think it is actually the most haunted place in Europe, so they say. I believe that.
I believe that.
I was there like the other week and I was in a bar that their toilets like are built into the Edinburgh vaults because obviously like we have to utilise that underground space.
Yeah.
And these are parts of the Old Town that haven't been like turned into tourist destinations for being the vaults. So they've just renovated them into toilet space and stuff and storage space.
Yeah.
And the toilets were fucking stain cold, stank and felt really horrible. I was like, oh, brilliant. These toilets are haunted.
This is somebody's a toll booth. This is my personal toll booth.
I was like, I do not feel safe. That's the Edinburgh toll booth and that is the North Berwick Witch Trials. Sources for this will be gone up on the website that I am still trying to make because in the last episode I lied and said that I was doing it, but I had to beat my own personal clock and make a website. But I do work full time, so getting sources and stuff on that is like happening very slowly but surely. But if you want to find out more about me and Liam, you can check out the small biography that we have on that, like tiny, tiny biography.
And our hot pictures.
I
would also like to address the elephant in the room. Sorry to bulldoze you. But yes, very nice. We have the website. Everyone go look at the website or you hate us. I would just like... So basically, we had a meltdown moment because Instagram was down and we had like 94 followers on Twitter. So if anyone here would like to follow us on Twitter, please do. We see you, Finland.
Mark Zuckerberg.
We were number 15 in the... Finland history.
No, we were number two on the Finnish history charts.
Shut up, number two.
We were number two. I was number two.
Okay, so Finland,
like quite high up.
Finland, like as your Finland. New elected queen, I would like you to follow the Twitter. But I would also like to address the fact that I did say I would show boobs on the Twitter, and I won't be showing boobs on the Twitter until 150 followers. Then you will see my breasts. Then and only then.
So the Twitter account is at the Creepy Wee Pod and the Instagram is at the Creepy Wee Podcast. Follow us on Twitter though, because I feel like Mark Zuckerberg's kind of going to lose the plot and delete the whole app. So maybe do follow us on Twitter. We promise to start posting more content there. But if you want to go and see us, hey, like an actual meltdown where we were both on keys on the Twitter account, like publicly melting down, then you can go back and historically witness that.
Yeah, it was a moment.
It was desperate.
Yeah, it was sad to watch, but also I've never said anything funnier in my life, so
okay.
go look.
So that's us. Follow us on social medias. The website is thecreepybpodcast.co.uk. And the next episode, if you've managed to stay this long, we're going to be talking about Swanee Bean.
Remember that time we said this was going to be like a tight 45 and we're at like an hour?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.